But anyway, I'm going to be teaching an unusual subject today, mainly because Pastor John and I were talking about it a couple of weeks ago, and the subject came up that we need to teach more, we need to emphasize more on the baptism in the Holy Spirit, because that was always a big thing for this church. But to teach other things, we kind of let that drift away a little bit. And the thing is, the unusual thing is, I think everybody in here is already baptized in the Holy Spirit. So, you know, why I'm teaching on this, I honestly do not know, except I prayed and asked the Lord what he wanted me to teach on. And so that's what came up in my spirit. And we had talked about how we need to make an emphasis on that. And so I'm going to teach on it. And, you know, you can be a certain kind of person in a Pentecostal charismatic church. You can be a chronic seeker of the baptism in the Holy Spirit, which I was for many months, when I first came into this thing. I was what you call a chronic seeker. In other words, there are people in churches who go for years desiring to have that experience and don't receive it for some reason or another. They keep on seeking. They call chronic seekers. And then there's somebody who maybe just sought it for a while and then gave up. Well, somebody told me we don't need it anyway, you know, hey. So they just give up. There are those people. Are those people who are distracted because somebody said something bad to them? You better watch that stuff. You know, you better watch that speaking in tongues business. Or you can have the gift and be baptized in the Spirit and have the gift of other tongues and not use it very much, because it does have a purpose. And for those who already have that experience, one of the things it does, it enhances the anointing that's already in your life. If you pray in tongues for an hour before you go out and minister or do things, your anointing that it abides with you is more enhanced. Okay, I'm getting way ahead of myself, but I wanted to get these extra notes out of the way. I asked one fella here a couple of years ago who went to church here for a while. I'm not going to mention any names because you probably all would remember him. I was out on the porch there and I said, "Brother, have you ever wondered about or desired to have the baptism of the Holy Spirit with the gift of tongues?" And his answer was, "No." That was it, no. Okay, I guess we're finished with this subject, you know, at that point. So I'm not talking about having the Spirit, okay? You get born again, you have the Spirit of God. I'm talking about the baptism in the Holy Spirit, which is a second experience. And I'm going to preach this message just like somebody here needs to hear it. I mean, you know, if you've been in this thing a while, it's good to refresh yourself. It's good to have a good understanding, because you may need to lead somebody into this baptism of the Holy Spirit. I have led a number of people over the years into it. Gathering around somebody and hollering in tongues in their ears does not give them the baptism in the Holy Spirit. Just in case you're wondering, that's the Pentecostal way. Gather around somebody, you know, and everybody holler in their ears in tongues. And they're saying, "Oh, what's going on?" You know. And so the title of the message is The Promise of the Father. The Promise of the Father. And I want to talk about that. The promise of the Father is the promise that those who believe in Christ would be baptized in the Holy Spirit with the evidence of speaking in other tongues. And there are all sorts of doctrines out there, everything you can think of about this, but I'm just telling you what I believe about it, and I believe the Scripture bears it out. This is an area we used to be very strong in this church, but over the years, you know, you kind of drift away a little, because it's like preaching salvation. You know, you preach salvation every week, everybody's saved, for goodness sake. You know, you need to find something else to preach on besides salvation. Salvation is wonderful, thank God for it. Speaking in tongues is one thing, but once everybody speaks in tongues, move on to something else, you know, but praise God. So it wasn't a deliberate thing, it's just something that happens. But we still believe in the gift of tongues. Anybody still believe in the gift of tongues? Hallelujah. Amen. And by not teaching it, we fail to give believers, especially new believers in Christ, the opportunity to believe it and receive the promise. And like I said, Pastor and John and I were discussing this a couple of weeks ago. And then I suddenly was on the schedule to preach unexpectedly. And I said, what am I going to preach on? I asked the Lord about it, and the thing came of my spirit, the promise of the Father. So here we go. Yeah. So many in here already have this experience, most, if not all. But I think that focusing on this subject would be helpful to all of us. See, faith to receive anything from God, anything you want from God, faith to receive it comes by what? By hearing. And hearing by the Word of God. You got to hear what the Word of God says about it. Not what you think about it, not what Brother so-and-so said about it, what your pastor in the other church said about it. You got to go by what the Word of God says. So if you have your Bibles, let's turn to Acts chapter 1, verse 4. And if not, you follow on the overhead or look at it on your phone or something. But anyway, this is where Jesus is about to ascend to heaven. He's been crucified and been with the disciples for 50 days. And now he's getting ready to ascend into heaven, be taken up. He wants to give some final instructions to his disciples. And he says in Acts 1:4, and being assembled together with them, he commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which saith he, you've heard of me. And for verse 5, for John truly baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days from now. And he said, but wait for the promise of the Father, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost. This is the promise he's talking about, the promise of the Father that they would be baptized with the Holy Ghost or the Holy Spirit. For you people who don't like the word ghost, Casper the Friendly Ghost. Now, ghost and spirit mean the same thing, by the way. They're from the word pneuma, which means wind, where we get the word pneumatic, pneumonia, has to do with the wind. But anyway, Jesus told them, I want you to wait in Jerusalem for the promise of the Father, which you've heard me speak of, because he had made mention on many occasions about something that was going to happen to them after he was gone. They didn't really understand him, but he was talking about it. He talked about the Father sending another Comforter, the Spirit of Truth, whom the world cannot see. But you see him because he's with you and he shall be in you. Praise God. And when he, the Spirit of Truth, is come, he shall guide you into all truth. So those who believe on Jesus were to receive another Comforter, another Helper other than Jesus. He was going, but he was going to send another Comforter, another Helper to guide them into all truth, to live inside of them. Praise God. This, by the way, is a monumental notion. The very idea that the Almighty God, the Holy God of creation, would come and live inside of mere mortal human beings. Praise God. They weren't expecting that. Did you know that caught them by surprise? Praise God. Because it says in Colossians 1:26, even the mystery which had been hid from ages and generations, but now is manifest to his saints, to whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles. The mystery which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Christ in you. Do you know Christ is in us? Wow. That's the mystery that was hidden from ages and generations, that God was going to come and live inside of human beings. No one saw it coming. They could not have imagined such a thing as God living in people. You know, we're so blessed, and we don't even stop and think about it sometimes. We have something they, people before Christ, never had that opportunity. Hallelujah. And it says in Acts chapter 2, we're moving to the next chapter, when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place, and suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like fire, and it set upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Praise God. We were singing a lot of this morning, that song about we need a fresh wind. That third verse or so is all about the wind of God coming. It's just amazing. I said, wow, this is an interesting song that we're singing this and doing this message today. The disciples were in harmony in one place, and then they heard the sound of a mighty wind, like a hurricane. And they saw tongues of fire that rested on each one of them, And they were all filled with the Spirit and spoke with other tongues. Now, that was quite an experience, you might admit. That's quite an experience for that meeting. You know, they must have talked about it for a good number of weeks or days. But now, this was unique to that meeting. That didn't happen in every meeting. How many know that? It didn't happen in every meeting. You know, when I was personally seeking the baptism of the Holy Spirit, and I know everybody has their own experience. Everyone could give their own experience. Maybe we'll do that next week. Who knows? Or whenever. But I was seeking the Lord for the baptism of the Holy Spirit. I wondered if that was supposed to happen to me, like the day of Pentecost. Was it supposed to happen like the day of Pentecost? And, you know, there are several places in the book of Acts where other people were filled with the Holy Ghost, like Cornelius' household and the place in Ephesus where he found the believers, asked them if they had received the Holy Ghost. They said, no, we've not heard there was such a thing. And so in both cases, they received, but they did not hear the sound of a rushing wind and they did not see tongues of fire. They just spoke in tongues. And so these things in that meeting were unique to that meeting. In other words, we don't need to hear a wind or see tongues of fire to receive the baptism in the Holy Spirit. Now, believe it or not, people who don't have that experience actually ask those kinds of questions inside of themselves. Maybe you did when you were seeking. I probably ask every question you could ask about it before I received. And so in verse 14, after it happened, Acts chapter 2, Peter, standing up with the 11, lifted up his voice and said unto them, you men of Judea, and all that dwell in Jerusalem, be it known unto you, listen to my words, for these are not drunken. These men are not drunken as you suppose, seeing it's just the third hour of the day. But this is what was spoken by the prophet Joel, and it shall come to pass in the last days, saith God, I will pour out of my spirit upon all flesh. And your sons and daughters shall prophesy. Your young men shall see visions. Your old men will dream dreams. And so Peter is explaining to them what this is. This is what's happening here, folks. This is what the prophet Joel talked about. That in the last days God would pour out his spirit upon all flesh. The result would be that your sons and daughters would prophesy. See, that was in the song. That was in that song about young sons and daughters prophesy. Your young men would see visions, your old men would dream dreams. In other words, there would be some supernatural manifestations that came with the pouring out of God's Spirit. There would be some supernatural manifestations. Now, tongues is a supernatural manifestation of God's Spirit. You know, a better word for gifts, we talk about the gifts of the Spirit, a better word for that word gifts is manifestations. The manifestations of the Spirit. Every gift of the Spirit is a manifestation of the Holy Spirit. Paul said, but the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit all. He talks about the gifts of the Spirit. And he's talking about prophecy, healing, tongues, all that stuff, all that. They're all manifestations of the presence of the Spirit in a person's life. Then Peter said unto them, repent, in verse 38, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. He was explaining what had just happened, and if you will repent in the name of the Lord Jesus for the remission of sins, you'll receive this gift. He says, for the promise is unto you and to your children, and to all that are afar off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. What promise? The promise of the Father that you would be baptized with the Holy Spirit and speak with other tongues. See, this experience of receiving the Holy Ghost with the evidence of tongues is a promise of God that's unto you, unto your children, to all who are afar off, even as many as the Lord your God shall call. The promise is for every believer. That's what I'm trying to get to here. See, and I want to talk about the promise to every believer. I want to clear up some of the most common misconceptions about the subject. And there are numerous misconceptions about this subject out there. And you'll hear people say to you this and thus and so. And And sometimes they'll catch you off guard and they'll say, well, blah, blah, blah. You say, well, I don't know how to answer that. But you need to know how to answer things. You need to know how to answer the messed up things the enemy says. So anyway, I personally am of the persuasion that the gifts of the Spirit are as much for today as they were the day they were given. See, a lot of amens there. So I'm not the only one who believes that. But a large majority of Christian denominations today believe that the gifts were done away with from the early church when the first apostles died, that there were no more gifts of the Spirit. Tongues shall cease, they say. See, that's a scripture taken out of context. It's talking about when Christ comes, tongues shall cease, knowledge shall vanish away. All of that. You can't take something out of context like that. See, if you look at the scriptural arguments that these people use to say that gifts of the Spirit were done away with, if you look at those arguments closely, you'll find they're extremely weak. Study what they say about it and look at the arguments. They're either taking something out of context or just totally changing it. But their arguments against tongues don't really bother me very much. How about you? No, because we already speak in tongues, right? See, they can't talk us out of it because we've already got the experience. I mean, you didn't talk all day. But you know, if you tell somebody, if you're new and you tell somebody you haven't received this yet, and you tell somebody, well, I'm seeking the baptism of the Holy Spirit with the evidence of speaking in tongues. One thing you'll hear very soon is, now you better be careful about that tongues business. It's of the devil. That's one of the main arguments. That tongue, you got to watch it. It's of the devil. It is of the devil. Mm. And say it real in a spooky way. It's of the devil. Mm. Yeah. But, you know, let's take that argument first. Tongues is of the devil. Because they're going to use that out there. Why? See, the enemy has done this. He's come along with churches. How many of you know that false doctrine comes from the mouths of true believers? It never has come from lay people or unbelievers. It has always come from people who are respected as leaders. They speak something, it becomes doctrine. Whether it's right or wrong, God bless them. I mean, they don't mean to speak wrong. They're just telling you what they believe. So let's start with that argument. If Jesus said in Luke 11, verse 11, if a son shall ask bread of any of you that's a father, will he give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will he give him a serpent? Or if he asks for an egg, will he give him a scorpion? And the answer is no to all of those. And Jesus said, if you then, being evil, you're actually evil, if you know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father, who isn't evil, give the Holy Spirit to them that ask him? Praise God. In other words, if we ask God for the Holy Spirit, he's not going to give us a serpent or a scorpion. That is a demonic spirit, a devil. See, that's a big argument out there. You better not be seeking that. You're liable to get a devil. You ever heard that? Anybody ever heard that argument? Where that came from, I don't know. Well, I mean, I know who started it. But who first said that, I don't know. If you seek that baptism of the Holy Spirit, you're liable to get a devil. Ooh. Well, I think I just won't do that then, see? So many people have been dissuaded or discouraged from seeking something that God has for them because some well-meaning Christian said the wrong thing. In other words, if we ask God for the Holy Spirit, he's not going to give us a demon. You know, I had a dream years ago. I want to tell you about this dream I had several years after I had been speaking in tongues. This was early 30s, I believe it was. Just kidding. It wasn't the 30s. Just wanted to see if you were paying attention. It was the early 80s. Not quite that old. But anyway, I had a dream many years ago. And a dream that everyone who spoke in tongues was going to go to hell. That's the dream I had one night, but I already spoke in tongues several years earlier. And I had a dream that everybody who spoke with tongues was going to hell. And I woke up, sat up in the bed, you know, just, you know, was this a dream from God? Where did this come from? And then I remember somebody telling another story. You may have heard these stories before. Let me just go on. There was a person in a meeting was speaking out in tongues. And another person recognized that they were cursing God in a foreign language. That while they were supposedly speaking in tongues, they were actually cursing God. Well, it's possible to curse God in a foreign language. How many know that? You can actually do that, but it's not by other tongues from the Holy Spirit. Let's see this verse 45 in Acts chapter 10. Yeah, Cornelius' household. We talked about that earlier. Peter went down to preach at Cornelius, the Roman soldier, the Roman centurion. And all his people were Gentiles. They were Romans. And it said on verse 45 of chapter 10 of the book of Acts, they of the circumcision which believed were astonished, as many as came with Peter, because that on the Gentiles also was poured out the gift of the Holy Ghost. For they heard them speak with tongues and magnify God. That's how they knew the Holy Ghost had fallen on them, because they heard them speak with tongues and magnify God. See, when people received the Holy Spirit and spoke with tongues, they magnified God. They did not curse God. I'm going somewhere with this. Just hang with me. So I look closer at the Bible. You know, that's where you need to go when you got a question about spiritual things. And I discovered that I could not find one place in the Scriptures where the devil ever imitated speaking in tongues. It's just not in there. You know, well, we were in a meeting and some demon came in and spoke with tongues. No, he didn't. He might have spoke gibberish, but it wasn't tongues. If there was some kind of demonic manifestation. There's no place in the Bible where the devil ever spoke with tongues. If the devil could speak with other tongues, then there would be an account of that happening somewhere in the Scriptures. The Lord would show us that this might happen. He told us a lot of things that happened in the book of Acts, but he never told us a place where the devil spoke with tongues. If anyone could ask for the Holy Spirit and receive a demonic spirit instead, we would have an account of that in the Scriptures. If somebody prayed for the Holy Ghost and received a devil, that would be in the Scriptures. Praise God. So the notion that speaking in tongues is of the devil is a lie that the devil himself came up with. Why? To scare people away from it. He doesn't want you to speak in tongues. And we'll see why in a minute. Now, when I was seeking the baptism of the Holy Spirit, I told my pastor at the Baptist church, I was going to a Baptist church over in Bassett, and he was a good man. This is a good man. I still, you know, honor him as a true man of God. He told me that he saw that that was in the Scripture. He saw that tongues was in the Scripture, and if God ever wanted him to have that, then he was open to receive it. You ever heard anybody say that? If God wants me to have it, well, I'm open to receive it. The only problem is you'll never receive it that way. You'll never receive it just being open to it. And I'll tell you why as soon as I find it in my notes. No. See, he saw it was in the Scripture, and if God ever wanted me to have it. See, he was a genuine and sincere man of God. I still have great respect for the man. He's gone on to be with the Lord now. But people who have that view will not receive the baptism because they're saying, God, if you want me to have this, then go ahead and do it in my life. Go ahead, Lord, do it. It'll never happen that way because the Bible says the promise is to you, to your children, and to all whom the Lord your God shall call. If it's His will, if He wants to do it, He's already made it clear He wants to do it. There's not an if there. That settles the question. The real question is whether or not we desire to receive the promise. That's where the real question is. Do you have a desire for it? Now, personally, I've always thought if God provided something for me, I ought to figure out a way to get it. I ought to seek it till I get it. That's the way I look at it. If God provided something for me, then it's up to me to go after it. And at all costs. Now, a young man came to one of our Covered Dish meetings several years ago, and I made mention of speaking in tongues while we were just talking. And he said, well, my pastor said that Jesus never talked about speaking in tongues, so it must not be very important. And that's one of those that kind of caught me off guard. And then I remembered in John chapter 7, verse 37 through 39. I looked it up after that to find out where it was. It was John chapter 7, verse 39. There was a feast going on in Jerusalem, and Jesus was attending the feast, and he was arguing with the Pharisees and all of that. But it says in the last day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried, saying, if any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. He that believes on me, as the scripture has said, out of his belly shall flow or his rivers of living water, out of his innermost being. But this spake he of the Spirit, which they that believe on him should eventually receive. For the Holy Ghost was not yet given, because Jesus was not yet glorified. This was not going to happen until Jesus was glorified. He did talk about it. So he did talk about it. He spoke of what would happen to someone who received the Holy Spirit. Out of his innermost being would flow rivers of living water. In other words, there would be supernatural manifestations of the Spirit, which is what tongues is. In another place, you might remember that Jesus was talking to a Samaritan woman by a well in Samaria. And Jesus said to her, whoever drinks of this water that you have in this well shall thirst again. But John 4:14 says, but whosoever drinks of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst. But the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life. See, there's a well of water within those who receive the Spirit of God. He's talking about the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And we lay hold of and connect to those waters through speaking in tongues. That's one way we do it. Amen. He said, if any man thirst, let him come to me and drink. Do you have a thirst? Do we desire to receive what God has promised? See, that's where I've seen there's a problem. People don't have any desire for it. Something that God has given that's for our good, a lot of people don't have the desire for that. And maybe it's because we haven't preached it, haven't taught much on it lately. If you don't hear about it, you don't know about it. How can you possibly have a thirst and a desire? I know that I was thirsty for it many years ago. I wanted it bad. I mean, I'm telling you, I wanted it bad. And I was a chronic seeker. It took me a while to receive it. The first time I visited Barnesville Christian Fellowship, back in 1979, I believe it was, they asked me if I was baptized in the Holy Spirit. That's the first thing somebody asked me when I walked in the door. Hey, you've been baptized in the Holy Spirit? Well, I got saved and I know the Spirit's in my life. I'm going through all this stuff, but I'm not sure. And then the next thing they asked, do you want us to pray for you? I mean, when you go into that church, you would get prayed for the baptism of the Holy Spirit. So I say, well, yeah, I don't know what it is. I might as well go ahead and pray for me. So what happened next is typical. Everybody in the room laid hands on me. All of them began to pray in other tongues. You know, and you're listening to all these people pray in tongues around you, right up in your face, really. And somebody says, hold on. Yeah. Somebody else says, let go. And then somebody else says, now, began to talk, but not in English. This is why this general technique usually doesn't work. I'm not saying it hasn't worked. You know, God's merciful. Somehow or another, he can get through sometimes. And people will actually begin to speak in tongues that way. But in my case, it didn't happen. And so I said, you know, I wanted the experience. Everybody else spoke in tongues. Why couldn't I? Was there something wrong with me? Maybe God didn't want me to have it. These are things that go through people's minds, and we need to clear those misunderstandings up. Then in June of 1980, our pastor at the time, David Hundley, decided to have a Wednesday night meeting to teach on the baptism of the Holy Spirit. I think Jan was there. Janine was probably there. Anyway, it's in the old Hazelwood Lane, Dr. Marshall's basement,
where the church used to meet. That was the early version of this church. So I went to that meeting, listened to the teaching, and after the message, they prayed for people to receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit, speak in tongues. And by the time they got to me, I was already speaking in tongues. Pastor David went back and said, "What? Go on." You know, they were going on to somebody else, and they're going to bother praying for me because I was already speaking in tongues. And because in that message, he cleared up all the misunderstandings that I had about speaking in tongues. And once that happened, I just spoke in tongues immediately. Because, like I'd been doing it for years, I couldn't stop hearing tongues going around in my head. She-ka-da-ma-si-ka-da-ma-ha. Just round and round for days. We went over afterward and prayed for Wynn Bledsoe. Was that her name? Yeah. She was in the hospital, and the tongues just going around in my head. I couldn't stop hearing it for a while. So I want to share some of the main points, just a couple of the main points that I learned that evening that released me to speak in tongues. Because once I got rid of those misunderstandings, boom, I stepped right into it. And maybe because it was backed up in me or something, it was like I just was speaking fluent tongues instantly. Anyway, so praying in tongues, let's understand this, and we know this, is primarily a prayer language for the individual believer. That's what speaking in tongues, praying in tongues is about. It's an individual prayer language. Now, there is the ministry gift of tongues and interpretation, which is a separate thing. That's where somebody gives a tongue, like D does from time to time, and Don will interpret. That's tongues and interpretation. It's something that happens in the public meeting to edify the body of Christ. It's not for personal edification. It's ministry gift edification of the church. Now, when Paul talks about ministry gifts in 1 Corinthians 12, he says this. Excuse me. He says on verse 29 of 1 Corinthians 12, "Are all apostles? Are all prophets? Are all teachers? Are all workers of miracles? Have all the gifts of healing? Do all speak with tongues? Do all interpret?" See, he's talking about the ministry gifts here. He talks about the gifts of the apostle, the prophet, the teacher. These are ministry office gifts. He gave some apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors, teachers. He set them into his body. Those are gift ministries. Do all have the gifts of healing? Or do all work miracles? No, not all people in the body of Christ have the gifts of healing or work miracles. But it does say, believers shall lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. All have the simple gift of laying hands on the sick and getting people healed. It doesn't mean you have a ministry gift of healing. Some do. Then he says, do all speak with tongues? Do all interpret? See, he's talking about the ministry gift of tongues and interpretation, like the example I just gave. Not the simple gift of personal tongues. Now, why am I even bringing this up? Because some people have been told that, do all speak with tongues? God, it may not be God's will for you to have this gift. See, they take that out of context. He's talking about ministry gifts of tongues and interpretation, which is like prophecy. Tongues and interpretation operates like prophecy to edify the church. Someone gets a tongue, someone else gets an interpretation, the church gets blessed. But the gift, the simple gift of tongues, is a personal prayer language of an individual believer to edify that believer, that person, individually. Hope I'm not getting too far ahead of myself. It's for everyone, for their own personal edification. So when somebody says, it may not be the will of God for you to have the gift of tongues because, do all speak with tongues? Paul said it. He was talking about something different. They're two separate areas. Personal edification for myself and edification of the church, which is something that happens in the public meeting. So the simple gift of tongues is for every believer. It's for personal edification, so on and so forth. It's a personal prayer language. Now, why do we say that it's a prayer language? Well, 1 Corinthians 14:2 says, "For he that speaks in an unknown tongue speaks not unto men, but unto God. For no man understands him. However, in the Spirit he speaks mysteries. He's speaking something. Nobody understands him, not even himself. Oh, we're getting to another roadblock here. A person who speaks in tongues is speaking to God. He's praying. No man understands him, not even himself. Well, that's crazy. Why would we bother to speak or pray words that we don't even understand? I mean, I can see somebody asking that question. Well, it's a very good question. We do it because God understands what we're praying. You see, we're praying in a level above our own understanding. We're praying things we don't know about. Hallelujah. God can pray by the Spirit prayers for our lives about us that is bigger than what we even have understanding of. Somebody says we pray in our future. When we pray with other tongues, we pray in our future. Praise God. Anyway, so we're speaking to God, and in the Spirit we're speaking hidden things or mysteries that He understands at a level above our ability to understand. See, this thing of understanding what we say in tongues was a roadblock for me. I thought I was supposed to know what I was saying. You know, I really thought that. I mean, why? I don't know. Nobody told me that. I guess I just had that thought. I remember one brother back in the early MCF days. I'm just going back to some stories. You don't know if you remember. He gave me a cassette tape with about an hour of him speaking in tongues. I wasn't baptized in the Spirit. He gave me a tape. I said, "Here, brother, take this and listen to it. See if you get an interpretation." I'm like, I said, "These are fruitcakes." But no, they weren't fruitcakes. They were good people. Now, in verse 14 of 1 Corinthians 14, it says, "If I pray in an unknown tongue, my spirit prays, but my understanding is unfruitful." In other words, I don't understand what I'm saying. It helped me so much to find that out. That was one of the big roadblocks for me. I thought if I spoke in tongues, I'd have to understand what I'm saying. But the Lord may give you an interpretation occasionally, but it's usually not that way. Here's another roadblock. Here's a big roadblock for me. I thought that the Holy Spirit was just supposed to take me over and cause me to speak in tongues. I've been to a few Pentecostal church meetings where the Holy Ghost would fall on people. Oh, I don't know if I want that or not. Praise God. People lay on the floor and scream and kick. I'm thinking, Lord, is that what baptism of the Holy Spirit's about? I just thought that because I saw people that kind of gave me that impression that the Holy Ghost is going to fall on you. And I thought if there's, you know, what, like a lion, you know, who's lurching and poised, ready to leap on you. That's what I thought receiving the Holy Ghost would be, you know. Someone would just leap on you. I mean, why are people scared of the Holy Ghost? Well, for that reason, maybe. So I thought that was supposed to happen, and I'd go and pray, and I'd get by myself in my van during lunchtime. I'd pray, "Lord, baptize me with the Holy Spirit. Give me the gift of tongues." And I'd just sit there, you know, wait for something. Janine talked about, you know, tarrying. That was a doctrine. It's a big doctrine still, I guess, in some Pentecostals, that you got to tarry for the Holy Ghost. You sit for days and wait. Well, in my opinion, that's a farce. That's an incorrect teaching, but we'll look at the reason why. And then nothing ever happened when I did that. I just sat there and wait, and well, it never happened. I guess God doesn't want me to have the gift of the gift of tongues, baptism of the Holy Spirit. See, the doctrine of tarrying for the Holy Ghost, I mean, after all, didn't Jesus tell them to wait in Jerusalem till they received the promise of the Father? Isn't that accurate scripturally? So we sit and wait for God to do something, for the Holy Spirit, the Holy Ghost to fall upon us and us to speak in tongues. And if not, that must not be the real thing. If it doesn't happen that way, then it must not be the real thing. I mean, after all, isn't that what happened in the book of Acts on the day of Pentecost? Well, let's go back and take a look and see. Let's go back to Acts chapter 2, verse 4. We're going to repeat a scripture we read earlier. It says, and they, these all these 120 in the upper room, they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Now notice this, they were filled. They were filled with the Spirit and they began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Did the Holy Spirit speak in tongues that day? You got it. No, the Holy Spirit didn't speak in tongues. They spake in tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. The Holy Spirit did not do the speaking. They did. That was a revelation to me, folks. That was maybe the one that that took me past where I was, knowing that it wasn't Him speaking, it was me. You know, and I know everybody who speaks in tongues in here knows that. But it was a revelation at that time. The Holy Spirit would give me the utterance, but it was totally up to me to do the speaking. Wow. And I was waiting for Him to do it. Oh God, please baptize, please. Blah, 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 blah. It's not working, praise God. I'm trying, Lord. Well, stop trying and just hear what I'm saying and speak it. Hallelujah. You see, there is a step of faith on our part in receiving. We step out in faith and speak the words that we hear on the inside, up in this mental area here. I don't know how to explain it exactly, but most people, I mean, you know what I'm talking about, but how do you explain it? See, when I found that out, I began to speak in tongues almost immediately. Just boom. It's like somebody turned a key, you know, boom. It was working. And we'll close here because I just wanted to share this message. Put it out there. Let people hear it. And we'll talk some more about it in the days to come. But we'll close here. But how do we receive the baptism in the Holy Spirit with the evidence of speaking in tongues? How would you tell somebody? And what would you tell them if somebody had that desire to receive? Well, first of all, we desire to have what God has promised. The first thing to receiving the Spirit of God and the... Now, wait a minute. I don't want people to misunderstand me. You receive the Spirit of God in your heart and in your life when you're born again. But there's a second experience that we call the baptism with the Holy Spirit in which you can speak with tongues. It's a different experience, the same Holy Spirit. But I don't want people to think that if you haven't received this baptism in the Holy Spirit, that the Spirit of God is not in your life and in your heart. See, that's another fallacy. That's another misunderstanding that's been taught. Well, you just haven't received the Holy Ghost yet. You know, you're not up with us. Praise God. Anyway, there can be a sort of an arrogant thing in that. So we have to desire. The first thing is to desire the promise of the Father. He won't force it on anyone. That's why this thing of, well, if God wants me to have it, I'm open for it. He can give it to me. No, He won't. He won't force it on you. You've got to want it. You've got to receive it. The second thing is we pray and ask God for it. Remember Jesus said, if you being evil know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will the Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask Him? That's a prayer that He will answer. If you ask for the Holy Spirit, He will give you that. And then we step out in faith and speak as the Spirit gives the utterance. Three simple steps right there. Have a desire. We have a desire. Then we pray and ask God to give us the Holy Spirit. And then we step out in faith and speak as the Spirit gives utterance. We speak what we hear on the inside. It's just that simple. Three steps. Desire it, ask for it, and then speak. Anybody in here can tell somebody how to receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Three things. Amen. So I just want to encourage anyone who desires that experience, listening out there in the CD world or online, to seek it and lay hold of it. We'll be glad to help you if you need help. Hallelujah. Amen. Well, let's give the Lord a praise offering. See, praise God.
shoes are ready, take the shield away.